This is Neil Slade, and I'm going to be playing for you an excerpt of my conversation with stand-up comedian Josh Blue. Josh Blue tickles his audience's amygdala every time he goes on stage. He became a household name in America as the winner of the hit NBC television show Last Comic Standing. A member of the U.S. Paralympic soccer team, he competed in Athens at the Paralympic Games, the world's second largest sporting event. He continues to tour full-time, performing live shows on stage and on television, and he has several comedy CDs, a DVD, an upcoming book to his credit. He also has currently a special on Showtime being aired throughout the month of April in 2012. His life and story illustrates many frontal lobes amygdala tickling principles. Enjoy this short excerpt from the complete transcript that appears in the book, Tickle Your Amygdala.
Can you tell me, you know, a bit of your background, your story growing up? Where are you from originally?
I grew up in St. Paul. I was actually born in Cameroon, West Africa.
Oh, really?
So I think that really has influenced me as being a white African-American. But when I was 15, we moved to Senegal for a whole year, and it was my sophomore year of high school. You know, it was weird coming back from Africa and having another year, couple years of high school, you know, because I had a different perspective, and I was one of the only disabled kids in my school. Like, it was all mainstream, so I already kind of stuck out, and like I said, I had a scribe my junior year of college. I went back to Senegal and did an independent study at a zoo, so I spent 3 months working as a zookeeper, which is totally random, but
yeah,
again, life altering and life changing, and I did something in there that I also think was a very pivotal point in my life, where I actually got them to lock me into a cage for an entire day and put myself on display. Yeah.
What happened? What was that like?
I have endless stories about that. I mean, it's like I had no shirt on, just shorts.
You got to wear shorts.
Yeah. But the thing was, is like, if you take cerebral palsy kind of out of context and put it in a cage,
yeah,
people think, well, what the f*** is going on? And they were, honestly, like during the afternoon, there was like 70 people around my cage, like the whole day, feeding me peanuts and like fruit and all kinds of just stuff like that. And but I shared a wall of bars with a 400-pound gorilla.
Oh,
so like, I mean, that day, I mean,
what'd the gorilla think?
Well, it was cool because I had established a relationship with him.
Uh-huh.
Like, I became, I think, one of three people in the world who could pet him. And, like, just a beast, man. I mean, he's f***ing huge. So strong and just amazingly cool. But so we shared a wall of bars, and then basically, it was his other half of his cage.
Yeah.
So how you clean the cage is you slide the door over, and it'll go in there. You put food in there.
Right.
You slide it shut, go clean that side.
Got it.
So I was on this side. And what happened was, they have like a three-hour siesta at the zoo, where they just shut it down.
Yeah.
And they're like, you want to get out? And I was like, no, I'm gonna do the whole day in here. And, everybody leaves, and I'm in.
Everyone left the zoo.
Yeah, I mean, like, there's no visitors, and all the zookeepers are eating lunch or
right,
taking a little nap or whatever.
Yeah,
and I'm sitting in the little concrete shelter area.
Yeah,
and all of a sudden I hear the very distinct sound of metal bending. I was like, "What the?" F-? And I like look out, and the gorilla has like wrapped his fingers around that metal door and is like prying it back to get into me, and I'm like,
oh,
and I'm like, oh my god, people aren't gonna, by the time they get here, I'll be long dead. Like, and it wasn't like, I don't think he wanted to kill me. I think he just wanted to play.
Right.
So then I just was like, all right, I guess it's time to play. So, like, for 2 hours, I just ran back and forth along the bars and, like, tickled him and fed him.
To distract him from bending yeah. the bars anymore,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It wasn't the bars. It was actually just the metal door that slides over, you know?
But so he could have come in.
I think if I had let him do it longer, he probably would have eventually... Because, I mean, it was like, I heard the noise. I was like, oh, my God. And then it was just such a funny... I should let you read the story. I wrote it one time. I wrote it in college. It's one of those stories that is just so ridiculous. Because it's, like, they started calling me the boo-boo monkey. Like, the zookeepers were calling me that. And then there was one zookeeper that came up front, and I always thought he didn't like me. Because he chased me one time with, like, a hedge clipper. And he was up front and center. And I've been studying, like, primate behavior the whole time, so I kind of knew how they acted. And, like, if a primate doesn't want to talk to you or pay attention to you, it'll give you the coldest shoulder you've ever had. So I was like, you know, I didn't speak at all during the time in there. And I remember there was like 70 people, and the zookeeper I thought didn't like me, he was like pretending like he was the foremost expert on the boo-boo monkey. He's like, yes, from the mountains of Congo. And we captured him, you know, and like, and I'm just sitting there, because it's all in French and Wolof. And, like, I don't think the audience think I understood,
yeah.
you know, Wolof. And I could hear people's conversations in Wolof about me.
Oh.
And I'm just, like, I'm trying not to laugh. Because they're like, what is that? Like, what is that? And then there was, like, one point where, there was a woman who was, she spoke some English, and she was like, I know you understand me. And I just kept like, And then she finally said in English, I think she spoke English when she didn't speak more. She goes, you're crazy. And in Wolof, I said back, Yamagana Dof, which means you're crazier than I am. And everybody laughed, like, except for her, because she didn't speak Wolof. And they're like, she's like, what did he say? What did he say? And some like English student goes, he said, you are crazier than he is. And it was just a good laugh.
That's such a great story.
And it was, I mean, it was endless. I mean, so many things that day. Like, I actually, earlier in my trip, I got malaria. And I had to go to the hospital and get a shot.
Yeah.
And the doctor, I forget where he was from, somewhere in the Middle East. And I told him, well, you should bring your kids to the zoo for a visit. And of course, that's the day he came. And he sees me like in a cage, and he gave me the craziest look, like, oh my God, the shot didn't fix you, or something like that. He's like, do you remember me? And I was like, and I like symboled like shot in the butt, like,
you made the hand sign.
Yeah.
For injection. But,
yeah.
That's so funny.
But then I also remember, like,
how old were you when this? 18?
I was
19.
No, I was probably 20.
Okay.
20. And then, to be honest with you, that was a point in my life where I go, now I can die. Like, if I died now, I could say that I've accomplished and done something that probably no one else has ever done.